1493 FM. Green Country Gardener brought to you by OK Federal Credit Union, Green Thumb Nursery, Jensen Tractor Ranch, Peter's True Value, American Heritage Bank, Bartlesville, Pahuska, Barnstall, and the Osage Region, Enterprise Sod Store, ABS Performance, Patriot GMC Hyundai, and Overlees Woods Lumber. If you have a gardening question for Larry Glass, call 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. And now, the man with the emerald thumb, Larry Glass.
And we appreciate you listening to us here on this cool Saturday morning. If you have a gardening question for Mr. Larry, give us a call, 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. And here he is, Mr. Larry Glass. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning, Adam.
How are you this morning?
Oh, pretty good. Nice and cool out there. What a difference the day makes, huh?
Oh, yeah. It's pretty nice this morning. 51 degrees.
51.
Geez. 51. In mid-70s for highs.
We're used to weather double that number.
Yeah, we're used to, yeah.
And 70s. The rain we had this week, absolutely perfect.
The rain this week?
Oh, golly, it came just in time. We were planting some trees in an area, and the ground was just bone dry.
Really?
Oh, golly, yeah. And but deep down, they weren't that big a tree, so we didn't have to go too deep. But we just got on the very edge of the deep water in the ground, so it's not that bad down deep.
No.
But for the shallow things, for your shrubs and your newly planted trees and things, it's getting a little bit desperate.
Last weekend I went to Oklahoma City and then went to Arbuckle Lake and Sulphur, and looking at the grasses, we've got all the grasses over here are green,
right?
But you go down a little bit south, they're a little drier than over here. So
there's kind of a dry pocket out there. So
yeah, they are. But we're welcome any relief of rain we get. So
exactly. So that's going to help fall color a lot too, because plants have a little bit of oomph, and this cool weather we're having is making them slow down pretty good too.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the fall color is just going to be outstanding this year.
Yeah, I can't wait for that.
So fall is in the air, the heat is off, so get to work.
Yeah, enjoy those 70 degree temperatures, but it's supposed to be back in the 80s by Monday.
Hey, the 80s, I can live with that.
Yeah, I can too.
But to keep the 90s away, please.
Anyway,
the pansies have popped out at the nursery. We've got tons of pansies right now, and it's the time of year to plant them. It is September, just about to the middle of September. Golly.
Yeah. How come
Halloween's only 6 weeks away?
Oh my goodness.
That's typically our first freeze too.
Yeah, because usually over here our first freeze what, late October?
Yeah, typically late October. Yeah, mm-hmm. It can stretch on to November or so, but.
And I have seen it snow by Halloween too. So.
Ooh.
Yeah, I have.
Actually, we have had some snow in the United States already, up in the mountains and west of the western part of the Rockies there.
Mm.
Yeah,
because of higher
snow.
Yeah, higher elevations. Yeah, I'm going to say snow.
We also have at the nursery have fall mums. All kinds of colors. I had a lady come in yesterday, just load her car up with them.
Well, that's good. Good for you guys.
Well, it is. It's good for her, too, because she really enjoys them. And the color is just about to pop out on them. So you have them from a 4-inch to the 6-inch size. So some size variations, too, depending on how big a space you have and sort of how much you want to spend on them, too.
Mm-hmm.
Keep in mind the mums are perennials. They will come back. They need a whole lot of sunshine. And a good drainage, good soil. Don't plant them in the clay.
Yeah. We got a lot of clay around here.
They just don't like it.
Yeah.
So pick up a bag of compost while you're there. So they'll do real well. And we have something the pitcher needs in every size and color as far as that's concerned. There are different colors of yellow and red and so on the mums. And even a white one or two. So anyway, check it out. And the pansies, too, they're always so beautiful. And the violas. What I really like about the violas is they're smaller than the pansies. You get more blooms per square foot with the violas because they are smaller and they have a whole bunch of little bitty flowers on them.
Okay.
So they're related, actually. So.
Okay.
And the kale and cabbage is here, too.
The kale and cabbage.
Yeah, the flowering kale. They're not. They don't look like much right now. They really don't look like a whole lot until the nighttime temperatures get in the upper 30s. But what you really want to do right now is, while the ground is warm, get them established so the roots can establish real well so they can tolerate the cold. So it's a good idea to get them in early, your kales and cabbage and whatnot. So anyway, that's kind of what's going on right now at the nursery. Oh, we also have a whole bunch of new trees in. We got some big old maples in.
Mm.
And Gary and I were looking at them yesterday, and the cutter is just starting to twinge a little bit on them. So it's just starting.
Is this usually a good time to plant trees?
It's an excellent time.
Excellent time.
The primary reason is, number one, it's relatively cool. Mm-hmm. And the trees are not stressed that much when they're planted, because we don't have a lot of heat and dry weather and other associated negative stuff on the trees. And the ground is relatively warm, so we have good root development. So it's an excellent time to plant trees. And we have a caller.
I think we have a caller on the line, and we want to say good morning, caller. Welcome to Green Country Gardener. How can we help you this morning?
Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm going to put some sod down in a little area, and I wanted to know if I can spray Roundup on what's down there before I put the sod down.
Right.
And if there's a time period that, in other words, should that be at least a week or something before the sod goes down?
Right. The standard time reference is 7 days.
Okay. That's what I needed to know.
Yep, that's it. And your first name, please, because we have two jars of plum jam.
Okay, Chris.
Chris, okay. Chris, thank you for calling.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, again, 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. If you have a gardening question for Larry, yes, we got two jars of jam.
From the glass orchard.
Yeah.
From the orchard, plum tree orchard consists of two trees.
And it's homemade.
Yeah, I got two different trees because they bear at different times.
Mm-hmm.
And that gives you some overlap, a little rest period between the two.
As a matter of fact, you used some of that jam this morning, didn't you?
Not from this jar, no. But
no, not the jars
batch
we got here today.
But. And on my oatmeal this morning, it was very good.
Oh, man. But anyway, we were going back to trees here quickly.
Oh, yeah, sure, trees.
And
planting trees.
Planting trees, this is an excellent time of the year to do that.
It is right now. Now, this last week, we planted some holly plants for some people, and they had planted some trees in there previously. They'd gotten them from an unmentioned retailer here in town, and they died.
They died?
Why did they die?
They
want to know why they died. So we dug them up, and they had them buried in the ground a good 6 inches. Mm-hmm. Below the graft. And I said, this is why they didn't make it. They're buried too deeply. So planting them properly is very important. And planting them properly is a very simple thing to do, actually. Mm-hmm. You want to dig the hole twice as wide as the tree. So that means if you get a tree with a 3-foot diameter, and we do dig holes big enough to live in when we plant these big trees.
Yeah. Okay. Oh,
so,
really?
Yeah. Because what that does is it helps the tree transition to the existing soil. By backfilling it with some loose soil and maybe a little bit of compost, it helps it transition to the soil so we can take off and do a whole lot better. Now, you see a lot of articles about, well, you shouldn't add anything to the soil when you plant it. You just put it right in the existing soil. Well, that's fine, but when you're talking gray and yellow clay and stuff like that, and consider what the trees are planted, the material in which they are planted. Consider that and how it's going to transition from that really nice soil that it was born in and cut out of and everything into your bulldozer dirt. How's it going to transition to that? If there is no transitional layer between the good soil and the bad soil, the roots are just going to sort of crawl around in a circle, and the tree just won't last very long.
Mm-hmm.
So it has to have a substance in which the roots will grow and start to go outwards and gain some strength before it'll establish to the existing soil. If you have good soil, no problem. And a lot of cases, we do plant some trees in some soil that's really good, and we don't need to bring use as much as much compost.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times when we get a call or a request to plant some trees, we get the address, and I'll say, oh my gosh, Marcus, get out the rock bar and the picks and the shovels. Or they give me another address and said, this one's a breeze. I can handle it myself, you know. so really, kind of knowing your soil type can also help in preparing knowing what to be prepared for when you plant it, mm-hmm. as well as what species of tree to plant. It's the biggest question people have. What kind of tree can I plant here?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And a lot of times the first question I ask is, in what part of town do you live? And then I can go ahead and show them some trees that live in that part of town. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a big difference between Upper Colonial and Lower Colonial estates, for instance. You go in on Dorchester, and the soil over there is just bottomless. It's this rich black stuff, beautiful soil. And then you go two blocks away, it's like, you know, Mars.
Yeah. So it depends from one area to another.
Determining
what. That's kind of interesting right there.
Actually, in your yard, the soil can vary from one type to another. Even in your yard, there's so much of a difference here in town.
Mm-hmm.
In some parts of town, you have limestone as a parent material. The parent material is the rock from which the soil comes. And then up the street, as you go up in the elevation, mm-hmm. You run into a sandstone parent material. So there's a difference between the two. And typically the sandstone has more trace elements in it than the limestone. Because our soil here is relatively young. It's only a few million years old.
That's all?
That's all.
That's all.
And it's... It's a very young soil.
That's pretty young.
And really, there's no deposition in the soil. In other words, we're not in a river basin in most of the town,
mm-hmm.
but most of it, soil is actually washed away and washed down. And there are some pockets like that part of Colonial between Silver Lake, Dorchester, all the way up to Cambridge along mm-hmm. there. There's a low area right there. There's great stuff. And you go to Barnstall. Oh, that's just beautiful stuff down there.
Really?
Yes. Barnstall's kind of in a low area.
Uh-huh.
And everything's washed into it.
Okay.
And
yeah.
the trees in that town are extraordinarily large. So that accounts for that, too.
It's because of the soil
down there. Yeah, the soil. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. So, all right.
So, in asking what kind of tree should I plant, kind of give us, you don't have to give us a GPS of where you live, just kind of a general area. Mm-hmm. What part of town do you live? And then we can, or at least I can advise as to what kind of tree to plant.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So anyway, planting trees, it's a kind of very simple thing. And remember to pick out the trees that will do well. A lot of times the faster growing trees you get are the first ones to fall apart. People really, really want fast growing trees, and you want to avoid those comic book trees. The Oz tree, for instance. Well, I looked it up, and it's a Salix matsudana, which is a willow tree.
Mm-hmm.
Matsudana is a kind of a tough-growing willow tree. It is shallow-rooted, and they live probably 15 to 20 years before they start developing stem anthracnose and other problems. So we don't carry them for obvious reasons. It's also on the trees, it's time to fertilize the trees and your shrubs. So grab a bag of Milorganite, get out there and fertilize your trees and shrubs. They'll do a whole lot better for you that way, especially with the soil moisture content such as it is. Okay?
Okay, yeah.
So always fertilize them at the drip line. And the drip line is the outermost point of the extension of the branches. In other words, you step over here, you're going to be dry because of the branches. You step over there, you're going to get wet. You know, it's just right there, right on the outer edge of the branches. That's called the drip line. So you want to fertilize in that zone. Typically, that's where the feeder roots are. Okay, so yeah. I like to use a Milorganite or a 1688 with a little bit of emphasis on nitrogen. And so you might consider fertilizing your trees and shrubs at this point. With the cooler weather, the sprinkler systems don't have to be used as much also. Speaking of resources and plants.
Yeah.
So most of them, I know the ones we install, have a, what do they call it, a water budget feature on them. And I really like the water budget feature. It's on Rainbird timers. Most of the other ones have it too. Well, you just turn the dial and you enter a number, or you go up and down to enter a percentage amount of water that everything gets. So right now you're running at 100%. Well, that's good for when it's really hot and dry in the summertime, but when it's cooler and more moist in the fall, you can reduce the amount of water easily by using your water budget feature. So instead of getting an hour of water, it gets 45 minutes mm-hmm. if you set it at 75%. Or if you set it at 50%, it gets 30 minutes, 25%, 15, and so on. So you can regulate the flow very easily that way by using the water budget thing. Mm-hmm. So you might consider, if you don't have that feature, reprogramming it just to reduce the amount of water you use. I know our reservoir is in good shape. We got plenty of water. But then again, it could just stop raining, too.
Yeah, well, it could, and it's happened before.
Exactly. So you always want to be proper with your watering and try not to use too much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we've been very fortunate the last several months having an abundance of rain over here, so probably don't have to use your sprinkler that often.
This summer I have yet to water my lawn. And
really?
It looks fine.
Yeah.
I have not watered my grass at all. Now, the flowers are a little bit different thing.
Yeah, you got to keep those watered.
Yeah, but the grass, no. I haven't had to water it yet this summer. And I tell people that. Well, they say, well, I have to water my grass every day. You know, I said, well, I haven't watered my grass yet. And it looks just as good as yours. Maybe.
But we've had this summer, we've had some good rains this summer.
We've had a dry spell or two, but it's not mm-hmm. nothing that my Bermuda grass did get a little dried up looking, but it's come back. So mm-hmm. it develops a tougher grass. Now, we were doing some landscape work for somebody who waters a whole lot, and the Bermuda grass roots were only down a couple inches deep. And that makes them dependent on the water that much. Mm-hmm. So by not watering them as much or watering it less frequently, they have the roots go down into a deeper zone, and it can tolerate the drought a lot better and save yourself a ton of money. Mm-hmm. So just don't water that much.
Yeah,
especially Bermuda grass.
Save that water bill, you guys.
If you have fescue grass, fine. You need to water it a little bit right. more, but you still have to let it. You have to have a dry zone in time between when you water mm-hmm. on your fescue grass. Even then, but Bermuda grass, no, it doesn't need a lot.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, we're going to take our first break, but we would love to hear from you, the listeners. If you have a gardening question for Larry, just give us a call, 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. We'll be back with Green Country Gardener after this here on K1.
Fall has arrived, and Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses is now stocked up on pansies, garden mums, ornamental kale, and more. Plus, new shipments of trees and shrubs have arrived ready for the fall planting season. Come see what's new at Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses. Now's the time to seed your lawn. Green Thumb has fescue seed and all sizes of 5-star premium blend that will make your lawn the envy of the neighborhood. Green Thumb Nursery, open 9 to 5, Monday through Saturday, Sunday noon to 5.
If you or someone you know is addicted to drugs or alcohol, this could be the most important message of your life. Write down this number or store it in your cell phone, but call 1-800-426-6186. That's 1-800-426-6186. By calling the treatment helpline for drug and alcohol addiction, you can turn your life around. Our advisors will match you with a proven 5-star luxury treatment center that will end your drug or alcohol addiction once and for all. Your future can still be bright. When you call right now, you'll speak to a recovering addict who understands what you're going through. Let us help you break your addiction to drug or alcohol before it's too late. This call is completely confidential, and if you have private insurance, there should be no cost to you. Take 5 minutes of your time and call right now. It may change your life for the better. Call 1-800-426-6186. That's 1-800-426-6186. Call 1-800-426-6186.
Welcome back to Green Country Gardener. Well, we thought that the orchestra was working, but it wasn't. But I'll check that later. But again,
we ran into some static on the.
I know. We don't want to hear static this morning. 918-3.
It sounded like a really nice ocean.
Yes.
Coming in and out. So
yes.
It's a very relaxing white noise. Okay, anyway.
Kind of reminds me of, this ocean front.
We went to see my parents a few years ago, and we stayed the night in a oceanfront hotel.
Oh,
how relaxing. We slept all night with the windows open.
Okay.
And the sound was, anyway, that was fun.
Yeah.
Anyway, lawns. Yeah. It's time to install fescue seed on your lawns.
And I think we got a caller on the line.
Okay, got a caller.
I think we have a caller. And we want to say good morning, caller. Welcome to Green Country Gardener. How can we help you today?
Good morning. Thank you.
Hey, good morning.
Is there a liquid pre-emergent available out there?
Yes, there are. And generally, they're meant for the professional professional people. Because they go around in their trucks with their big tanks and they use this stuff. The advantage of it is it's easier to apply. The disadvantage of it is typically it has to be suspended in a liquid. In other words, it just won't stay mixed. So if you use a liquid, be prepared to just keep it constantly mixed. So that's the drawback of a pre-emergent herbicide.
Okay, where would we find that?
Well, we can probably special order something. We can probably get you some Surfland or something like that. And a lot of times it's orange in color. But we can probably get some for you.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
And your first name?
Deborah.
Very good, Deborah. Thank you for calling.
Bye-bye.
And 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. If you have a gardening question for Larry, he does, for a lucky caller at the end of the show, we've got two jars of homemade jam.
These are half quarts. So.
Oh, half quarts.
Would it be a pint? Yes, I think so. It doesn't tell you how much it is in the jar.
It's still good.
It's a Kerr self-sealed mason jar. I think it's a half quart, I think.
Yeah, but still plenty of jam in that jar.
Anyway, it's time to install the fescue seed.
Fescue seed.
And the grass we carry is a five-star, and it's got all the top 10 fescue grass seeds in it. So you can't lose. They got all these different varieties. And if you look at the comparisons from the OSU and other things, they're all really close together as far as performance is concerned. So we just save you some trouble and just get one that works very well here. So always prepare the soil as if you're, say, growing tomatoes. And a deep tilling and lots of compost will make your efforts successful. Deep tilling, I'd say, 4 inches or so on the preparation for fescue grass seed. We got a caller?
Yeah, we got a caller on the line. Good morning, caller. Welcome to Green Country Gardener. How can we help you today?
My sister-in-law has a pecan tree, and the leaves or branches are hanging way down. When do you cut the branches up?
Anytime between now and, say, the middle of February, they can be cut back.
Okay, what about these oak trees and stuff too? Same thing?
Similar, yeah. The trees are basically starting to put themselves to sleep for dormant, so they're not really going to grow that much. If you're going to do some really, really heavy pruning, I would almost prefer middle to late next month, just so they don't try to spur on some growth.
Okay, because she said something about she had to wait till the sap went down or up.
Yeah, it would be best if you did that, but if you're just doing something so you can mow the grass down below it, now's an okay time for that too. But heavy pruning, I'll wait a little bit later.
Okay, on all of them, even the oak one too?
Oh, yes, yeah, because it could, because what it does is it causes the tree to sort of wake up a little bit and grow to try to compensate for the loss. So
we're just going to cut the big old branches off right at the fork.
Yeah, if they're no bigger around than your wrist, you'll probably be all right. But if they get as
big or not.
If they get as big around as your grandchild, then that might be an issue.
Yeah, my grandchild's big, so.
Oh, yeah, you don't want to cut one.
Okay, because we were just going to take them to go branches, where the fork, because they're just hanging so bad, and take them and just want to make sure because they come out next year.
Yeah, now, when you cut them back, keep in mind the fact that the weight at the very end puts more drop in the branch, in other words. So you can go further out from it and see if it lifts up a little bit too.
Okay, this oak tree. I want to just cut that off its fork because it's hanging way out in the street and all that stuff.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, it makes it difficult for the moving van to get through. So.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
That's what the police said, cut it.
Yeah, so yeah, I would go ahead and cut that one back, you know, but
yeah,
but
leaves and better pecan trees. She can do part of it now, or she can wait till next month, or she's going to do the big branches.
Yeah, just do the smaller ones right now, and then you can go back and get the big ones later on. I really don't think they're going to grow anymore this year. But then again, there's just the outside chance that it could delay dormancy just a little bit.
There's been there 30 years or 40 anyway.
Uh huh. Okay, and your first name, please?
Nancy.
Okay, Nancy. Yep. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. Uh-huh.
All right, 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936 if you have a gardening question for Larry. And we were still talking about lawns and...
Oh, yes, we were.
Yeah.
So in doing the soil preparation, you want to do a fairly deep tilling. I would set the machine on about 4 inches or so. If you get it too deep, you get a real bumpy lawn. In other words, it gets some ankle turners on your lawn, so you don't want to go too deep. It's sort of like planting trees. You need to get them to transition into the terrible soil you have. So you just
a terrible soil.
So just get them a transitional layer right there. And use a little bit of compost and so on. And if you have heavy clay, you might consider using some gypsum in the soil too. And then you want to reapply that gypsum every 2 years. The gypsum helps break the calcium bonds on the clay molecules, so it does make it percolate a lot better. So if you live in a part of town that has a lot of clay, you might consider also, in addition to your grass seed, getting some gypsum to help loosen up the soil. Fescue will not grow in heavy clay, but it will not tolerate too much water on a consistent basis. So water it infrequently and heavily. And it really does not prefer heavy shade. So if you don't have any dappled light at all on the ground, dappled light meaning some windows of light showing through into the ground, through the tree. If you don't have your dappled light in there, it's just not going to make it. If there's consolidated shade, don't expect a lot of performance out of your fescue grass.
Okay. Bermuda grass, leave it alone?
Yeah, leave Bermuda grass alone right now. Do not scalp it. You can reduce the height a little bit, but just kind of leave it status quo. It's probably time for a blade sharpening on your mower, too. I see a lot of scruffy-looking lawns out there.
Scruffy!
So you might want to consider sharpening your blade, people. I mean, come on. We tend to forget that.
Yeah.
And it's probably about time for an oil change, too, in the mower. So anyway, get the sharp blade, get the blade sharp. So that's probably what you really need to do now.
Okay.
About the same for zoysia grass, too. Get it good and cut up. And it's time to apply pre-emergence to control cool season grasses and weeds in the lawn. Very shortly, the dandelions, the henbit, and the chickweed will be sprouting.
Really?
Yes. Okay. And it sits there all winter long, just waiting in the wings. waiting got you, didn't it? Waiting for the weather to turn, and in the spring, and really get to growing and turn into a big nuisance in the yard. So the second caller, Deborah, who called about a pre-emergent, well, her timing is just perfect for getting that.
Mm-hmm.
And there are granular ones out there too that work very well. You just put it in your spreader and go and water it in. That's a quick way to apply it. But anyway, putting one down to prevent that from happening will reduce the number of weeds in the spring, so you don't have that ugly stuff coming up.
Sounds like that weed was laughing in the background. That's what it sounds like. Oh,
golly.
Oh, boy. Yeah, but they do grow during this time of year, then.
What, weeds?
The weeds.
They're just about ready to come up.
Mm-hmm.
The seeds are there from last year. The dandelions that blow in the wind, and the henbit that pops out of the flower stalk that, you know, in early May.
Yeah.
They're getting ready to grow.
Because I would think that the first thing that grows during the spring on your yards is weeds.
Yeah. then they start growing in October.
Really?
Yeah, okay. And they sit there waiting for spring, giggling at you. Ha ha, you forgot about me this year.
You forgot to pull me up.
If you do miss the fall pre-emergent application, you can use some Roundup on them when your Bermuda grass is dormant in the winter to control them also. Because a lot of times they do have a warm spell in the winter, and they start to grow a little bit.
Oh.
And at that point, you can zing them real good. Only while it's warm, because Roundup doesn't work that well if it's cold. It has to, the plants have to be actively growing for it to really work.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Larry, we're going to take another break, but again, if we love to hear from you this morning. If you have a gardening question for Larry, give us a call, 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. We'll be back with more of Green Country Gardener after this here on KY.
Finding a new home is hard enough, so financing one should be easy. At American Heritage Bank, we believe buying a home should be a smooth, enjoyable experience. Whether you're thinking of buying your first home, looking to upgrade to the home of your dreams, or wanting to refinance your existing home, we have a solution that's right for you. Visit us online at ahb-ok.com today. American Heritage Bank, simply better lending. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
If your yard is not flourishing, consider this. Talk to the experts at Enterprise Sod Store. They will tell you that sod is the answer to an instant yard and is mostly weed-free. Enterprise Sod has three kinds of sod: Bermuda, Zoysia, and Fescue. They'll pick up and deliver your sod and train you how to install and care for your sod. If you're a current or new homeowner or a landscaper or contractor, call the sod experts at Enterprise Sod Store, 918-333-6888. Stop by and see them at 3410 Southeast Washington Boulevard in Bartlesville. Let Peter's True Value be your go-to store for household supplies, like a two-pack of 32-ounce Drano Liquid Drain Opener. It's just $4.97 while supplies last. This powerful formula is easy to use and contains an ingredient that helps to protect pipes from corrosion. It's safe for sinks and drains in kitchens and bathrooms. It's also phosphorus-free and won't cause septic tank problems. Take advantage of this great deal along with other household essentials. Peter's True Value. Behind every project is a true value.
Well, I got the piano working. Yes.
Yes, good.
That's yes, fine. I did. I got it working.
Sounds a little better than static.
Okay. or it sounds like an ocean. But yeah, thanks to your guy that's playing the piano out there this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 8:42 on this Saturday morning. 1-800-749-5936 or 918-336-4900. 1400 if you have a gardening question for Larry. I was going to ask you this, Larry, and we had this on the news earlier this week about the webs on the pecan trees.
Yes.
We've seen, of course, I've seen them before, but not as many, not as much as we've seen it this year.
Right.
Is that because of the moisture we've had this year, a lot of rain, or...
The increase and decrease in populations on the webworms is cyclical. If you recall, last year we didn't have much of any of them, really.
Yeah.
And the year previous to that, we didn't have as many, but maybe 5 years ago we had a whole lot of them, too. So, and populations are controlled by several factors. Available resources was one of them. You might see a whole lot of worms on the trees and some trees that are completely defoliated. And what happens is they actually use up all their resources to the point where the insect can't mature all the way. Mm-hmm. So that's one way to keep the insect populations under control. And they're doing it very well.
They're doing it very well. Yes, I agree.
They look somewhat ghostly right now. But there are really no long-term negative effects on the trees. The insect populations will control themselves, so I wouldn't worry about that too much. But there are some things you can do to prevent that from being as big of a problem. The thuricide would be a good application. The BT is it's a microbial type application that does a lot to control the larval stage of insects. Now, you want to be very careful about how you apply that BT and just don't nilly-willy put it everywhere. Mm-hmm. Keep it off of your perennials and things. because butterflies are also susceptible to the BT also. So be careful where you apply it, and don't apply it to plants that the butterflies are used to breed, such as the monarchs and other ones. So be very specific with your applications in keeping the control, especially with the BT. Soapy water works well too.
Oh, okay.
But there's no really long-term effect on the tree itself at this point, because they've manufactured all the carbs they really need to get them through the winter and start the spring rush. So they're in pretty good shape right now,
mm-hmm.
as far as winterizing is concerned. So it's just primarily an aesthetics thing, really.
Yeah. So it doesn't hurt the trees, and it just looks good on...
It's a real appearance issue, yes. It hurts us more than it does the trees.
Right.
So I wouldn't be overly worried about it. It's not going to get hot anymore, really. We're not going to have 100-degree weather. Cross your fingers.
Yeah.
Anymore.
I don't see that happening, but...
So it's not going to adversely affect the tree. So I wouldn't worry about it too much this time of year.
Okay.
It's just an aesthetic thing. And some people, they just go in and cut the whole thing off when they do that. And that's one way to control it. But you also cause some potential, appearance problems with your trees if you cut them all off.
Mainly some long-term problems, kind of.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just a hose and sprayer with some Dawn soap in it works very well.
Okay.
And I put it about 1-to-1 in the container and then spray it at about a halfway ratio, just enough to coat the insects, and it'll smother them out.
Okay. All right. That, I was just wanting to ask you about that, because it's been seen them before, not as many, but this year we've seen quite a bit of them.
Right. The little worms originate in the ground, and they crawl up the tree, and then they find the leaves. And there are a lot of them that come up that are kind of disappointed because it's not a tree they really like.
Yeah.
And I've actually seen them go in on some trees that they don't favor. For instance, Bradford pears. I've seen one or two of them with a couple of them on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that rather strange, but because typically they don't attack them. Mm. But they must be desperate. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
this is not the best thing on the salad bar, but hey, it's here. You know? So anyway, don't panic. It's not going to be, the trees are going to come out again just fine next spring.
Yeah. But landscape, time to plan your landscape.
Yeah, perfect fall time. Is a good time to do landscape work. The drawing board is very busy this time of year. I've got projects left and right going on the drawing board. So that's probably what I'll do for the most part of today, is sit at the drawing table. But anyway, we've got a pretty good demand for landscape plans right now. So
mm-hmm.
It just starts with a phone call and starts with an awareness of the problem too. You have to look at your house and determine, well, is it ugly? Does it really look like the house that you really want to have? You know?
Mm-hmm.
And landscaping is a relatively inexpensive way to do a makeover on the house, because it can really make or break a house on appearance. So you might consider having us come out or myself come out and measure your house and come up with a landscape plan.
Okay.
Because it can help out a whole lot.
Yeah. Okay.
From your house looking dry and dusty to making it looking lush and full and appealing.
Mm-hmm.
That's very important with people, especially in a competitive real estate market, is curb appeal. So do what you can at this point to enhance it. You might need it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, trees, we were talking about them earlier, and trees are a very integral part of the landscape. You want to make them work in the landscape. In other words, trees provide shade, color, architectural accentuation, and provide habitats for wildlife. So the shade is the most important factor we consider when picking out a tree. How much shade can we get for the tree that we put in the ground, and where can I plant it to give you the best shade? And I'll go to people's houses and we'll stand, but we'll look at the front door and then look at where the sun is in relation to the seasons. In other words, during the hottest time of year, the sun in the afternoon is a bit further north than it is in the wintertime. It's more southern. You look at the constellations this morning at 5 o'clock. I don't know if you looked out the window, but the stars were absolutely brilliant this morning.
I was sleeping at that time of the morning, so I...
But the constellations were a little further north than normal, but it was absolutely beautiful this morning. It was a brilliant show with this cold air. But anyway, so we respond to the location of the tree based on, in the afternoon, based on where the sun is during the hottest part of the year.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that's inciting a tree for shade. That's most important. And also keeping it 15 feet away from the house is very important too. So it doesn't cause problems with foundations and sidewalks and plumbing and so on. So siding is very important. And also you have to consider the drainage patterns of the yard also, and how critical they are. Because trees, especially in rocky soil, when the roots grow, your root mass increases and actually raises the soil level. And it can cause problems in the house when that happens. So be very careful where you put it in relation to your drainage patterns.
Mm, okay.
Okay.
All right. Larry, let's take another break. And again, we'd love to hear from you this morning. If you have a gardening question for Larry, give us a call, 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. We'll be back with Green Country Gardener after this on K1.
Fall has arrived, and Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses is now stocked up on pansies, garden mums, ornamental kale, and more. Plus, new shipments of trees and shrubs have arrived ready for the fall planting season. Come see what's new at Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses. Now's the time to seed your lawn. Green Thumb has fescue seed and all sizes of 5-star premium blend that will make your lawn the envy of the neighborhood. Green Thumb Nursery, open 9 to 5, Monday through Saturday, Sunday noon to 5.
This year, the New Holland Value Bonanza sales event at Jensen Tractor Ranch in Bartlesville gives you more ways to save. It starts with New Holland Bonanza Bucks. Bonanza Bucks are like cash just for buying select New Holland tractors and equipment. And Value Bonanza savings continue with 0% financing or cash back in lieu of financing. Jensen Tractor Ranch can give you all the details, can help you choose from a long list of eligible tractors, hay, and harvesting equipment. But don't wait. Value Bonanza ends November 30th and the clock is ticking. Jensen Tractor Ranch in Bartlesville invite you to stop by today. You'll discover more smart ways to save during the New Holland Value Bonanza. The savings are bigger than ever for commercial use only. 0% offer subject to credit qualifications and CNH Industrial Capital approval. CNH Industrial Capital standard terms and conditions apply. Down payment may apply. Offer ends November 30th, 2015. See your participating New Holland dealer for details.
If there's a tractor in your future, Jensen's got it. Jensen Tractor Ranch, saving prices guaranteed. Bartlesville's New Holland team.
Enterprise Sod Store has everything you need to make your lawn and garden spectacular. They have mulch, topsoil, even gravel for driveways, all sold in bulk quantities and at bulk pricing, saving you money. All materials Enterprise sells can be delivered, saving you time. Start your lawn and landscaping projects today. Call the sod expert, Enterprise Sod Store, at 918-333-6888 or stop by and see them at 3410 Southeast Washington Boulevard in Bartlesville.
When you're building the home you've always wanted, look to 400 Series Windows and Patio Doors from the brand most trusted by builders and remodelers, Anderson. With variety, style, and time-tested performance, it's no wonder they are our most popular windows and doors. 400 Series Windows and Doors from Anderson. Why choose anything else? See Anderson Windows at Overlees Woods Lumber Company on Nowata Road in Bartlesville. The Larry Glass Orchestra playing
Vivaldi's Four Seasons of Spring.
Oh, well, yes. Thanks to those guys getting up early in the morning.
Anyway, waking
everybody up.
We're talking about picking out trees, and you need to determine how much of a nuisance will you tolerate in a tree. Probably very little.
Yeah.
So, and also, do you want grass under the tree? More likely, yes.
Well, yes. Uh-huh. Yes.
Yeah. So, how deep before you hit bedrock? Not very.
Not too deep.
So, if you really want some grass under the tree and you want it fairly close to the house, you pick a tree with ascending branches. So, that means things like water oak, red oak, northern red oak, Chinese pistache. Stay away from pin oaks and willow oaks close to the house. And if you expect to have grass under that, stay away from those. And in some cases, the red maples, too. You have to keep them pruned up in order to be able to grow grass underneath it. My front yard is a good case in point. I have big red maples. They're this big around, but I have grass growing right up to them because I keep them trimmed up.
Hmm.
And
okay.
Seasonally, you know, occasionally. I did them last August. I trimmed them up a little bit too. And they're fine. So, and they also have excellent fall color. Do you want some fall color on your trees too? Or right away, that spells for, you know, good reliable fall color. That spells maple and Chinese pistache and things. And the Chinese pistache can tolerate more rocky soil than the red maple. So you might consider going that route. And also the northern red oak and the Schumard oak give some good color in the fall when the weather's right. It's not as reliable as, say, a red maple or a Chinese pistache, but they do have good fall color when the nighttime temperatures are cold.
Okay.
So consider all those factors too. And the size of the tree also considered. The Chinese pistache is not a huge, large tree by all means.
It's a matter of fact, it's our tree of the week, by the way.
Oh, yes, it is.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Anyway, I mean.
But it does give you some good fall color. So getting back to the Chinese pistache, it's a generally an upright, oval-shaped tree, moderately growing, globed oval-shaped tree. 40 feet tall and 30 feet wide, and typically exhibiting excellent fall color. It colors up more reliably than most. but still the nighttime temperatures play a big part in how red the fall colors are. Red is that shirt. Red is those buttons. You know, you really want good red color. The Chinese is also deeply rooted and is structured to tolerate our storms. The Chinese pistache has a compound leaf on it. And on your compound leaf trees, you have a very clubby branching system, so it tolerates the ice real well in the winter. Another one that does very well in the winter is the Kentucky coffee tree. But they're kind of hard to get, and they're interesting plants. Tough and rugged as the day is long, kind of like the Chinese pistache.
Mm-hmm.
It's deeply rooted, so it does well in tough urban sites, too. Street trees and whatnot, it tolerates very well. It tolerates poor soil and so on. It stands up to pollution, which we don't have a lot of around here, really. And lousy soil, which we have a lot of around here. And restricted root space, which we have somewhat around here with the rock in our soil.
Mm-hmm.
It's ugly when it's young. It's very asymmetrical, and it's very hard to sell when it's a young tree. But it assumes an upright oval form on its own without any training. And it grows everywhere except wet areas. It absolutely will not tolerate periods of wetness. So if you have poor drainage, you might consider maybe a maple or a bald cypress or something like that that tolerates some poor drainage.
Okay.
The seeds provide food for small rodents and birds on the female trees. They're dioecious. You have male and female on separate trees.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're pretty good.
Yeah, pretty good. Talk about very quickly the shrub of the week.
The green giant arborvitae. Oh, oh, oh.
Oh, but anyway, not that green giant.
The green giant is an open form of the arborvitae as opposed to, say, the emerald arborvitae, which is a more tight form. But they're reminiscent, actually, of redwood trees. Mm-hmm. And they grow fairly quickly, and they get to be a very large plant, actually, as the name implies. So they're good for a moderately dense screen in the backyard. So we have a big specimen of green giant arborvitae out back if you want to see what one looks like up big, up close.
Okay.
We've got one.
Okay.
And we planted them very successfully in one area up our own tower or circle. And probably the worst soil I've ever encountered. I mean, we had to water it the day before we can get a hole in the ground. It was that bad.
Oh, really?
And they're thriving. Wow. They're doing very well. They planted a whole row of them along there.
Yeah.
And they actually survived the 115-degree heat also. It was the year they were planted. Oh, oh my gosh.
Oh, jeez.
And they came out just fine.
Yeah.
So the green giant arborvitae is a good one to consider for specimen interest and also for screening purposes also. Give it room to grow. You get pretty good size.
Okay. And very quickly, houseplants, good time to...
Good time to bring them into the house when it starts to get cool because your environmental controls in the house are not working overtime to keep it cool or to keep it warm. So the humidity is a little better in the house in a transitioner period like it is now.
Mm-hmm.
Just because your air conditioner doesn't run day and night nonstop. And yeah. Your furnace is not working yet to dry out the heat. So the plants have a chance to adapt to the house environment when the humidity is good.
Okay.
So as soon as it gets cold, it's going to get dry, and they're going to crack a lot anyway on you.
Yeah, that's true. Well, we're about to run out of time, and we need to pick our winners today. Who gets the famous hometown?
Let's go with Deborah and pull out Nancy.
All right.
Deborah had a pre-emergent question, and Nancy was wondering about how to trim her trees.
Okay.
Well, the plum jam will make it easier for them to do those tasks.
All right.
See you next week.
Yep. And
thanks.
Don't forget to
keep the sharpest shovel. Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Larry. Sharp.
Not feeling well? Visit Bartlesville Urgent Care across from Washington Park Mall. This is KWON Bartlesville, K227 CQ Bartlesville.